This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I could say is watch, that's all. Look, I had a really, really bad day in that debate because I was sick. But I have no serious problem. I was talking to Governor Shapiro, who's a friend. We have to win Pennsylvania, my original home state. He and I are putting together a campaign tour in Pennsylvania. I'm going to be campaigning in other states as well. And I'm going to do whatever Kamala thinks I can do to help most.
So there's Joe Biden. He was speaking this weekend on CBS about, I guess, the state of his current presidency and lack of his campaign now that he has stepped aside. And he had even more.
Look, the polls we had showed that it was neck and neck race. Would have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing me about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so? And I thought it'd be a real distraction.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a distraction. But if you felt like you could win, you would have stayed in. So he drops a name there and he says Nancy Pelosi's name. Usually Democrats don't out each other like that. Usually those conversations wouldn't become public knowledge. But we've seen Nancy Pelosi commenting on Joe Biden, and she did so again.
I didn't accept a letter as anything but a letter. I mean, and another, there are some people who were unhappy with the letter. Let me say to some said that some people were unhappy with the letter. I'll put it in somebody else's mouth because it was a, I don't even know. It didn't sound like Joe Biden to me. It really didn't.
That's the only thing she actually says in that clip. She talks herself in circles because she's trying not to say too much. But then she says that the letter, Joe Biden's, I guess, is it his resignation letter? It didn't sound like Joe Biden. Nancy Pelosi is saying that. Why is Nancy Pelosi saying this? Also, before Joe Biden took the oath of office and became the president of the United States when Donald Trump was still the president, why did Nancy Pelosi lead the refining of how the 25th Amendment would be invoked? When Nancy Pelosi was asked at that time, when Donald Trump was still the president after the election and Joe Biden was going to be the president of the United States, and the Democrats decided in the Democrat controlled House, hey, let's take a good close look at the 25th Amendment. Why did they do that? I think we know. And I think we've known for quite some time. The phrase that has been repeated in the media regularly surrounding Joe Biden and his stepping down is that people finally said to him, listen, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. So Joe Biden was Joe Biden was the president of the United States and was at the whim of the Nancy Pelosi's and the Barack Obama's the whole time he was the president. He's a managed man. And if he can be managed within the United States, what kind of management could be done for this person who could possibly be influenced by people who don't have our best interests in mind? Or maybe Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi don't have our best interests in mind. Maybe they have their own best interest in mind. I truly believe that the 25th Amendment conversation that was led by Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives was always about Joe Biden. And I think if you went back and rolled the tapes during that time, I said that on the air at that point. This isn't about Donald Trump. They're not going to 25th Amendment Donald Trump. Mike Pence is not going to participate in that system and that process. It's not going to happen. His cabinet is not going to 25th Amendment. You can talk about it in the left-leaning media all you want and make it seem like it's an issue that was never going to happen to Donald Trump. But it became a quick and important detail for Nancy Pelosi to make sure that that system, that process was on lock. And she did. Which has always led me to believe that Joe Biden was always under the thumb of the people who run the party. And if you're not the person who is elected to that position, that seems treasonous to me. That's a big word. But I don't really think that, I don't think it's an inappropriate word there. Why is this man still the president of the United States? That's my question. He's not qualified.
He's getting a free pass from everybody, too. I mean, him and Kamala Harris both. He's done one interview since, what, July 21st? She's done zero. Ultimately, as much as I want to yell at the media for not trying here, ultimately, it's voters. If they think that you're going to vote for him anyway, they don't give a rip about telling you about their policies. They're just going to rely on the feelings that you might have toward either Donald Trump or toward Kamala Harris, making you feel good about her, making you feel good about Tim Walz. It's really sad as a person who does care, and not just me, but I mean, so many millions and millions of Americans care about policy on the left and the right. The left, you've got to speak up and say, we want to hear from our candidates. Otherwise, they will not do interviews.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is that, you know, it's a risk versus reward calculation on behalf of the politician. And if there's no risk, I mean, if there's no reward for it, then there's no risk. So the reward has to be, or the risk has to be not talking to the people. So like you were saying, Ryan, you just got to go out there and not, you know, support that type of behavior where they don't talk to the people.
Watching the media cover this race, watching the media cover these campaigns is nauseating at best. And, you know, ABC's John Carl, this is just a 19 second clip of John Carl saying one thing in 2019 and 2023. And then in 2024, he changes the game on Kamala Harris's border responsibilities. John Carl from ABC.
It was back in 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago, that the president put Vice President Kamala Harris in playing a critical role in terms of trying to stop the flow of migrants across the border. I mean, she was more than 2 years ago, she got this responsibility.
No, she's not actually, she wasn't the border zone.
And then there's two clips there. And they're mushed together. But the second, that last part is him in 2024 correcting against the idea of the border czar thing. This is the game. This is the ruse. They use words to confuse people in a way that they don't ever have to talk about truth because you just argue about words. Everybody knows that Joe Biden put Kamala Harris in charge of the border. I know where Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were sitting at the table when Joe Biden said that she was the most qualified person to do this. So you have to repeatedly ask yourself, is the situation at the southern border on purpose? Is the southern border policy of the Biden-Harris administration a success? Listen to Chris Klemm, who we went to the border with.
She, as vice president or border czar, whatever title you give her, she's been responsible for the worst border crisis that we've had in history. Zero credibility, zero integrity when it comes to what she's saying and what she's done on the border. As senator, as the clip showed, as senator, she opposed, you know, supporting border security and the immigration enforcement operations that we need to do this job that keep America and our border safe. This is classic flip-flopping. She's pandering to this Senate bill, which had no teeth. It was not a border security bill. You know, if she's serious, call Schumer and let's get H.R. 2 back on the books. But a tiger cannot change its stripes just because it's convenient for a campaign. Her history on the border will be our future, and if she's elected, will be our country's border's demise.
So this, I was watching Fox earlier this morning, and this man's name is Chris Klemm. He's the former Yuma Sector Border Patrol chief. When I saw him on the screen, I was like, that guy looks familiar. I couldn't place him, and then I saw that he was the Yuma Sector Border Patrol chief, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I talked to him for 45 minutes on a bus while I was driving along the southern border wall, and he was telling me all of the stories about how how unempowered, what, disempowered something? What's the right word for
it? Yeah, disempowered.
Disempowered?
Right.
Sure, sounds good. that Border Patrol is right now, and that they are they're paper pushers, they're processors. When you hear Kamala Harris say we need to spend X more dollars on getting Border Patrol agents to the southern border, they're just trying to process people coming in smoother. That's what they're trying to do. Kamala Harris, do we need to stop the flow of people into the United States? Yes or no? Well, this nation was built on immigrants and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they did not come here like these people are coming here. The same version of government, and I say this as somebody who lives in the state of Illinois, watching the blue states of this nation lock people down, mask people up, keep people from being able to live their lives. Governor Walz of Minnesota encouraging people to snitch on their neighbors if they were doing something that wasn't according to the law. That's a Governor Walz policy. His phrase where he comes out and says, mind your damn business. That's the line that Donald Trump and specifically J.D. Vance need to start saying over and over and over again. Kamala Harris wants to plagiarize Trump's no tax on tips policy. Let's get J.D. Vance out there to repeatedly show how the progressive left big government policies of Harris and Walz is all up in your business all of the time. The mind your damn business party is the Trump ticket. Full stop. You want to live your life the classic liberalism that probably our parents and Gen Xers grew up with? That is the Trump party right now. If you are libertarian, you have to understand that the far left has gotten control of the Democrat side of this ticket and is going to take this in a rapidly paced speed towards socialism. That's their goal. They don't shy away from that. They call themselves Democrat socialists. And they think that if they put Democrat in front of it, it's fine. Hillary Clinton, when she was running, was asked, like, what's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? And she wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah. She was better at kind of walking around it. But if you ask that question to one of these candidates, they would probably just say, there is no difference.
Well, and you might say at this point in time, there is no difference. I think that there is a difference. But I think that the Democrat Party can't define it because it'll be isolating to people. They can't segment their party, even though their party is segmented. They can't give it a name, because we all know that once the left puts a bold-faced word out there to mean something, then that's how they don't have to have conversations or discussions or debates or even arguments about important things. You just label stuff so that you can use it as like a hate sword towards your enemy and make sure that they won't ever, ever open their mouths because they got a knife to their throat. That's the way the left operates. I think that Kamala Harris, when she gets onto the debate stage and has to start talking on her own, I think she's going to do herself in. Donald Trump, again, has to let her do it. And I know he's capable because he did it the last time. He's going to be on X tonight with Elon Musk. I'm excited about this.
I'm glad he's doing all this. I mean, doing the exact opposite of what the Democrat ticket is doing and going to the people as many times as often as you possibly can, circumventing old fashioned media and doing new media. Do it all day. Do it now until November 5th.
I'm looking on Real Donald Trump on X right now. And there is a lot of media being put up right now about Trump. 2 hours ago, they put up the image promoting Donald Trump and Elon Musk live on X Monday, 7 p.m. our time. I intend to be at home and watching this. I don't know that I'm going to live stream it myself, but I will most likely be on X, and you can follow me at Annie Fry Show there. But 2 hours ago, he tweeted out a video. It's just him walking down a hallway, sternly, stoically walking down a hallway with the importance of what is at stake. It's 30 seconds. This is an ad. That was 2 hours ago. Another 2 hours ago, another ad. Meet San Francisco radical Kamala Harris. Yes, please. More of that. I haven't watched that video yet. 1 hour ago, Trump was right about everything. Another ad. And this is kind of a nostalgic looking ad where it shows young Trump, at least from the jump. And then 23 minutes ago, another minute long ad. He's successfully walking down the steps of Air Force One, walking with his grandchildren. I saw this tweet, and I wish I remember who put this out there, because I would like to give him credit. It was like somebody who looked like they do what I do in another town. Like they were like a 20,000 X account has a radio show. I'm going to try to find it on the break. But they said Donald Trump needs to start saturating every dollar that they can of media into those few swing states with all positive Trump ads. And I thought, yeah, I think I like that. If the ad comes from Donald Trump, you have so much positivity to share. Do it. This is going to turn some people inside out right now. You are an incredibly likable guy. Bryson DeChambeau does a golf YouTube channel and he tries to break 50 with various golfers. And he did it with Trump. And Trump is a really good golfer. And it's funny because when Donald Trump was in the debate with Joe Biden and they did veer off road a little bit, at least Trump got it back on track about the golf game. And he's like, I'm a 6 handicap. And Trump, like, it was funny to me how obnoxious of a lie that was, because it actually, I think, caught Trump off guard.
Yeah.
Like, it was too bold of a lie for Donald Trump to even be able to. He was just like, oh, Lord have mercy.
It was like that one hit him personally.
Yeah. Like
the rest of it's policy. This one's like, no, hang on, man. Come on.
You will not lie about golf. This is kind of the way it felt like it came off. And Trump had so much confidence in that moment that he was right about being a better golfer, that there was an actual piece about him. It was like, let's do the scoreboard thing. Let's go. You want to do this? Let's go. He didn't need to like smack him around proverbially and beat him that way. He's like, let's do it. And Joe Biden's like, but you got to carry your clubs. Do you remember when Joe Biden said, make my day, pal?
Yeah, I do. It was in challenging him to the debate.
These people are all words. They're all words. That's all they are. They will crumble under their own weight if given the opportunity, which is an even more huge piece of evidence that the media completely knows it. They know that exposure for specifically Kamala Harris and previously Joe Biden is the worst thing that can happen to him.
Yeah, she's going to come out with policy positions this week in writing, finally, which makes you go, wow, so all up until now, they were saying, she's amazing, she has great policies. She's going to come out with policies soon. What were they before? I don't know, but they were great, and they're going to be great.
We know what they are. She's implemented them. She is on it. She is the vice president of the United States, and probably, as far as we know, actually running the country. For how long? One more thought before we go to a break. Imagine that Kamala Harris, we know the state of Joe Biden. We know. We've always known. If he's not the one calling the shots, imagine it not being the vice president. And imagine being the vice president in the position knowing that Joe Biden is not up to the job. Imagine being in that position and watching it all be managed in front of you. And then just sitting and waiting for your turn to be the other person who steps into that position to be told what to do. It's not a good look. And if you're not your own man, if you're not your own woman, people see that very quickly. And we saw that with Joe Biden. And you can tell that Donald Trump is, because he's not to be managed. Not at all. Let's take a quick break. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? Yes or no? I'm going to ask you guys this ready when you come back.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Brad and Ryan, well, let us know if they'll be okay if their presidential candidate loses. I know how attached you are to RFK Jr., Ryan. So I want to make sure
you're
okay.
No, I'm a Jill Stein guy.
That makes more sense. Go vote. Tell us what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I wanted to show you guys this before I ask you to answer the YouTube live chat poll. And for people who are listening right now who haven't heard us say it before, will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses, yes or no? I don't know if Donald Trump is going to win or not, but I do know that when you look at coverage like this, Kamala Harris, this is a CBS News tweet from August 12th. That's today at 1:30 p.m. So this just happened. CBS News reports with a picture of Kamala Harris behind a podium. Vice President Kamala Harris is rolling out a new policy position saying she'll fight. Gosh, dang it. This thing keeps popping up. I hate this computer so bad. This, when you go to the bottom right corner of your computer, does it pop up some sort of like super helpful launch pad? I don't use...
Oh, this computer doesn't, but I have one at home.
How do I make it stop?
It drives me crazy.
Reboot. CBS News reports Vice President Kamala Harris is rolling out a new policy position saying she'll fight to end taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
So CBS News reported on June 17th of 2024, former President Donald Trump's vow to stop taxing tips would cost the federal government up to $250 billion over 10 years, according to a nonpartisan watchdog group.
Oh. I think I'm against it now.
I'm against it in Kamala Harris's hands, that's for certain. Isn't that ridiculous?
It's so corrupt. I think that's why I woke up just kind of mad today. Because the people who are supposed to be, you know, there's a biblical term for this. It's called bearing false witness. It's one of the commands. They just lie. They lie and lie and lie, and they don't care anymore.
They don't care.
They're
not worried about being found out.
There's no conscience about it.
No.
Like, well, maybe we could spin this to where it sounds. Who cares?
There's no conscience about it. Good point. There's also no consequence.
No, exactly.
Right-leaning people on the radio start pulling their hair out and use it to pass 5 minutes of time in a three-hour radio show, and they love it. They know. They're lying, deceitful, awful people, and they know. They get it. They didn't, you know, go to work on Monday and scroll through Twitter and be like, oh my gosh, was that one of Trump's policies? They didn't discover that later down the road and get red-faced from embarrassment. They know exactly what they're doing.
I think you said this earlier, too, is the 1 o'clock or the 12 o'clock hour. There's no real moral ground to it. So if you were really upset, and the reason that this happens so frequently, and that's just a great example because it's in the same organization saying the same policy, two different things based on the candidate. It doesn't get much clearer than that. But they do this all the time because they don't actually believe in anything. They just believe in whatever the thing at the moment that their side is saying. So if you flipped the sides and just put D on anything, they just believe that. Mm-hmm. There's no grounding to any sort of... they don't really have a vision for anything. It's just response.
Which is where this becomes emotional because people, I mean, this makes people mad. This makes people it first makes you question whether or not everybody else is seeing what you're seeing, which is gaslighting. You're being made to see and feel something that when you say, I see this and I feel this, they go, what are you talking about? And they did it to you. That is the definition of gaslighting. They know what they're doing. That doesn't mean that you don't see it. That doesn't mean that you don't feel it. But we do have to be smart about how we react to it, which is where the stakes are higher. You know, if at the end Donald Trump wins and we can call scoreboard, okay. It was a hard-fought battle. We managed to make it through. You know, in our minds, the good guy won. But if he loses, and you know that it's based on unchecked lies because the Democrat media was involved in it the whole time, that's not going to feel good.
No. They haven't had to do anything. They haven't had to talk about politics. I mean, we keep saying they haven't done any interviews, they haven't done any press conferences, but it's true. They haven't released any sort of policy about anything until they do this one. It's just the stolen Donald Trump policy. But they don't have to because they have a compliant media that does the work for them. They're out there rewriting her entire past for her. Why would you do anything?
So, Brad, will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? Yes or no? It's today's YouTube poll.
I mean, I'm going to have to be okay. I don't like, I look at it and it's like, what if I'm not okay, what difference does it make? You look at it and you say, I got to be okay. If I'm not okay, then what is my other option? It's not going to be fun. It's
well,
not,
if you're just playing devil's advocate, but if you're always going to be okay with it, then what does it matter?
Well, that's just because you got to keep moving on. I mean, if you're not okay, there's no really recourse. So you move forward and then you fight the next battle. That's kind of what I'm getting at here. You can't just sit here and go, oh, woe is me for the next 3 years. It doesn't work that way, or the next 4 years or whatever. It doesn't work that way. Life goes on. Things keep moving. The country will be worse off 4 years from now if Kamala Harris wins. That's not debatable. She's a continuation of the policies that have taken us down the drain from where we were whenever things were going really well right before COVID. Yeah, COVID happened and it was a bad thing, but that's the anomaly. Nothing got better after the 3 years after COVID either. It's just all downhill. And so I don't understand why people would look at this and say, ah, things are good, it's okay. I don't like Donald Trump. We can handle 3 more years of this garbage policy, this garbage disaster, because I don't like him. But if they win, that's what we get. We get 3 more years of it. And so what is my options? It's to put my nose back to the grindstone, to get back to work, to keep fighting for good policy, to keep fighting for good candidates, to keep fighting to return things to the way they were pre-COVID so that, you know, you can afford a car, you can afford a house, you can have a good paying job, not three to try to make ends meet. Your only option is to keep fighting and to keep moving forward. So will I be okay? Yeah. And then at the end of the day, too, the thing that I remember most is God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. It just doesn't make going through it fun, but I'll be okay.
What about you, Ryan? You gonna be okay if Trump doesn't win?
Nope. I'm not gonna be okay. I think it actually is, and you're gonna say, well, this is you gotta turn down the rhetoric, Wiggins. I think it's actually the end of democracy if they win based on their policy positions, not because I'm trying to
pause. That's what they say about us every day. Yeah. As like the number one position.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump wins, the left is every day saying that it is the end of democracy if he wins. So if you say it one time here on this show because you really feel it and believe it, it's hard for people to look at you and go, calm down.
Well, thank you, but they
entered that into the conversation.
Well, thank you, but let me back that up by showing you what they were going to do when they almost had a majority in the Senate. They were going to get rid of the filibuster, and then they were going to add at least one state, if not two, depending on what they decide with Puerto Rico. They'll add D.C., and that's all to shift the balance of the Senate. That's to, you know, go around, do an end around of the voters. So, yeah, that's not enough. Well, they're going to pack the court. They already said they were going to do that. They're going to pass the Freedom to Vote initiative. That was a real act that they tried to push through in the first year of Biden's term. It would have done a lot of things to all federal elections, some of them benign, a lot of them not. It opens up the elections to fraud. It opens up to ballot harvesting and drop boxes and things that are very, very suspect. There are so many things that they would do right away to, A, get rid of the filibuster, and then what they would do with that. that it actually would shift the balance of power in their favor on purpose so that democracy really doesn't exist anymore. And that would happen for a generation. There's no coming back from that for at least a generation. And that's if after that generation, we still even have the ability to vote, if we're not tearing ourselves apart at the seams. So I really will not be okay with it. I think there is so much on the line.
What does it look like to not be okay with it?
It's to go home, get in a bathtub and cry. That's what it looks like.
When do you fill the bathtub with water? Or do you
I don't
even?
At all. No, I just get sad. In. I get in. I do take my clothes off, but I get in with no water. And that's what it looks like. And then I pull the remaining hair that I have left out and I just cry. It's like the crying game. I don't know if you've seen that, but it does look like that. It's pathetic and it's sad. And that's what I'm going to look like.
Sometimes, you know, us girls just need a good cry.
I hear you, sister.
I don't need a good cry.
No, I do.
Yes. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Us girls need a good cry.
We is correct.
We girls.
I was wrong.
We girls?
We need a good cry.
Us girls? Sounds so much better, though.
I know, but it's wrong.
Oh, gosh.
It's like the grammatically best to say it correctly when people think it sounds wrong, but you're like, I know what I know.
You know what I'm going to do, though?
Even though I said it wrong.
Of everything that we talk about in the show today, this is the one thing I'm going to take back to Katie Wiggins today.
Yeah.
And say, let's have a discussion about us and we.
Just say, let's just have a let's us Wiggins have a conversation. Let's us. No, that would us would be right. Dang it. Grimy wants to know, did you all cry when Biden won?
I mean, tears of joy. I thought that was the right path forward at the time. Just kidding.
Did you cry when Biden won?
No. I was surprised. I thought Trump was going to win that election.
But did you cry?
No.
But did you die? Did you cry when Biden won, Brad?
I did not.
Yeah, me either. I thought, this freaking sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah. I wasn't happy about it. I noticed that I was distracting myself more often. I didn't do what that lady in the stocking cap did in the street.
You assume it's a lady.
Yeah.
It's in those moments, though, that I think we would say, you know what? You just turn back to God and you go, I'm not in control. You're in control. And this doesn't look like I'd want it to look like, but I'm not in control. If you don't have, I don't know what you do if you don't have God in that situation. Because if your God is government and you just lost your God, man, you're in a mess.
You sit in the middle of the street, you put your hands up to the air and you scream, no.
Yeah.
Just like that lady.
He follows up and says, so you would say you were all okay then, right? I mean, we are okay. And the country is going to hell in a handbasket. And I think that the Kamala Harris victory would, what I think Ryan is saying is, kind of seal the deal.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, because after Trump, he had kind of righted the ship on a lot of things. And yeah, I mean, just for instance, because people are going to go, well, what? Well, something like the Abraham Accords existed because of Trump. And then after he left, they fell apart and you have war in the Middle East. Like, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. That's just going to continue for four years.
They didn't just fall apart. They were actively taken apart because of the pursuit of an Iran nuclear deal, because they wanted to go back and make, like, the thing about the Abraham Accords that made it so effective was that they went after Iran. Now, Biden administration started playing nice with Iran.
Big time. Also, and I don't know at all that Grimy on our chat is this guy, so I won't attribute this directly to him. But the definition of not okay is what happened when Donald Trump won in 2016. Those people were not okay. And it's 2024. Not only did they never got over it, it grew every day. And that will never go. I don't know that it will ever go away. I think for the rest of our lifetime, Donald Trump will have a fingerprint on American electoral politics for the rest of our lifetime.
Yeah.
If you lived through this, this will be a part of your understanding for the rest of your life. Now, once we get past, like, the littlest kids who don't remember this time, it'll be a little bit different. But, man, Donald Trump knows how to make an entrance and move on into the minds of the people who hate him so much. All right, we want to know what you think. Go vote. Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? Dirk said, I chose yes. At that point, it's out of my control. Whomever wins, I'll ask God to guide them. I will pray that they follow the right path. Hunter said, I have to be okay if Donald Trump loses. I have two sons and a daughter on the way. I have to be okay for them. That's a mature look. Amy said, well, I'm not going to go outside and scream at the top of my lungs like a crazy person, but hey. I sure will be sick to my stomach. Amy, that is no way to talk about Ryan Wiggins. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Like Ryan was just saying, the YouTube live chat poll is asking if you're going to be okay if your presidential candidate loses. Today is August 12th. It's Brad's birthday, and Ryan put together a song for Brad. Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Let me look that up real quick. It is a great song.
Uh-huh.
It is...
He worked really hard on this, and he called me this weekend, and he wanted to practice it for me over the phone just to make sure that it was quality enough for the show.
Yeah, it's called Singing Through a Paper Straw. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, now this is the first time this has ever aired.
This is how important Brad is to Ryan.
Well, it's not... You're going to hear this and go, how does that have anything to do with Brad? And you're going to say, you probably came up with that months ago and then forgot about it and they're just airing it now. None of that's true. This is Brad's birthday song. It is not just some random woke country song.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Here you go. It's playing.
Anytime.
Yeah, it's playing. No?
Brad didn't want to hear
it. No, it's not. It's not, or your volume's muted on your end.
It's not. Not really sure. Oh, okay. Hang on. Let me make sure. There we go. Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
I just want to let you know that I love you for who you are and for every single demographic box you might check. And I'm checking something else, too. My privilege at the door. That's why. I'm singing through a paper straw to limit my abilities and curb my incapacity. Oh, I'm singing through a paper straw because I love this land and I love my paw. Anybody who would disagree with it, I presume their heart is full of hatred. I'm singing through a paper straw. No stone I will be casting, every stone I'll be romancing instead. I'm singing through a paper straw. Couple extra bucks will put my buddies in electrical trucks. Anybody who would disagree with it, I presume their heart is full of hatred. And I'm singing through a paper straw. Got a chip in my hand and a chip in my dog. Girl, what happened to dancing? Remember, I didn't mean to misgender you right there. Let me know if you are a girl or not. You should sue your employer, that be hot.
Brad, what do you feel about that?
Do you love the song Singing Through a Paper Straw?
Talking in song.
Then book us to come to your city or mutually declared non-policed autonomous zone.
Jeez.
By visiting us online.
Thanks for all the effort you put into that, Ryan.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
He really wanted you to have that.
It doesn't feel repurposed at all.
No, it's not something that I did a while ago.
No.
It's something I did today.
It's amazing that you had that on hand.
Isn't it?
You guys have no idea. Oh, my gosh. How's it feel to be 41? You're now in your 40s.
Yeah, I'm officially in my 40s. I don't know yet. I'm just one day into it, but it feels a lot like being 40. Only I woke up this morning and my back hurt.
Didn't hurt when you were 40?
No. Is that normal, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Yep, that happens every single day now.
What was the hardest age for you to turn?
I think 62, last year.
62, because you had to decide if you wanted to draw Social Security yet?
No, when I'm 64, I can sing that Paul McCartney song. That'll be fun. I don't... I would say last year.
Would you sing it through a paper straw?
Because last year was the oldest I've ever been. And so that was the hardest. Every single year becomes harder and harder. So when I turned 42, I said, well, that's the worst one yet. You?
I think I took 30 kind of hard. 40, most of the people in my life are just a little bit older than me. My husband is. He turns, like this year, he turned 41 in January. And then I turned 40 in... April. So when he turns 41, I always think that I'm just a year younger than him. So when he turns 41, I feel like I just turned 40. And then I get to April and I'm like, oh, I haven't been 40. So I feel like I kind of get like a little time back.
Yeah.
So I get acclimated to these ages that are just a little ahead of me just because of the people I'm around. You guys are all just a few years older than me, and Jared is just a little bit over a year older than me. So I don't know.
I do the same thing because my wife is about 5 months older than me. Yeah. So.
So you get the
I hear the age and I'm like, okay, that's coming.
All right. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? I haven't answered this yet. My answer is yes, I'll be okay. Like I will mentally be okay. My purpose in life will be unchanged, but I will be dismayed and I will be sad. And then I'll have to take some time in a bathtub or in my own place of choosing to identify the problem and start doubling and tripling down my efforts, which I have doubled and tripled down from elections before. We asked you that question on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? 61% of you said no. So I think that's something that we have to think about right now while you still have the ability to affect the outcome. If you're part of that 61%, get involved. Reach out to your county Republican Party and get involved. You'll be very glad you did. You'll feel like you did something. The worst thing is feeling like you should have done more. So find those county Republicans and get involved. Mark Reardon on a very important local story coming up next. Oh, we appreciate you being with us this afternoon. Like Ryan was just saying, the YouTube live chat poll is asking if you're going to be okay if your presidential candidate loses. Today is August 12th. It's Brad's birthday. And Ryan put together a song for Brad. Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Let me look that up real quick. It is a great song.
Uh-huh.
It is.
He worked really hard on this, and he called me this weekend, and he wanted to practice it for me over the phone just to make sure that it was quality enough for the show.
Yeah, it's called Singing Through a Paper Straw. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, now this is the first time this has ever aired.
This is how important Brad is to Ryan.
Well, it's not. You're going to hear this and go, how does that have anything to do with Brad? And you're going to say, you probably came up with that months ago and then forgot about it and are just airing it now. None of that's true. This is Brad's birthday song. It is not just some random woke country song.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Here you go. It's playing.
Anytime.
Yeah, it's playing. No?
Brad didn't want to hear
it. No, it's not.
Brad
It's not, or your volume's muted on your end.
It's not. Not really sure. Oh, okay. Hang on. Let me make sure. There we go. Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
Just want to let you know that I love you for who you are. And for every single demographic box you might check. And I'm checking something else, too. My privilege at the door. And that's why. I'm singing through a paper straw to limit my abilities and curb my incapacity. Oh, I'm singing through a paper straw because I love this land and I love my paw. Anybody who would disagree with it, I presume their heart is full of hatred. I'm singing through a paper straw. No stone I will be casting, every stone I'll be romancing instead. I'm singing through a paper straw. Couple extra bucks will put my buddies in electrical trucks. Anybody who would disagree with it, I presume their heart is full of hatred. And I'm singing through a paper straw. Got a chip in my hand and a chip in my dog. Girl, what happened to dancing? Remember, I didn't mean to misgender you right there. Let me know if you are a girl or not. You should sue your employer, that be hot.
Brad, what do you feel about that?
Do you love the song Singing Through a Paper Straw?
Talking in song.
Then book us to come to your city or mutually declared non-policed autonomous zone.
Jeez.
By visiting us online.
Thanks for all the effort you put into that, Ryan.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
He don't think really wanted you to have that.
It doesn't feel repurposed at all.
No, it's not something that I did a while ago.
No.
It's something I did today.
It's amazing that you had that on hand.
Isn't it?
You guys have no idea. Oh, my gosh. How's it feel to be 41? You're now in your 40s.
Yeah, I'm officially in my 40s. I don't know yet. I'm just one day into it, but it feels a lot like being 40. Only I woke up this morning and my back hurt.
Didn't hurt when you were 40?
No. Is that normal, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Yep, that happens every single day now.
What was the hardest age for you to turn?
I think 62, last year.
62, because you had to decide if you wanted to draw Social Security yet?
No, when I'm 64, I can sing that Paul McCartney song. That'll be fun. I don't, I would say last year.
A paper straw?
Because last year was the oldest I've ever been. And so that was the hardest. Every single year becomes harder and harder. So when I turned 42, I said, well, that's the worst one yet. You?
I think I took 30 kind of hard. 40, most of the people in my life are just a little bit older than me. My husband is. He turns, like this year, he turned 41 in January. And then I turned 40 in April. So when he turns 41, I always think that I'm just a year younger than him. So when he turns 41, I feel like I just turned 40. And then I get to April and I'm like, oh, I haven't been 40. So I feel like I kind of get like a little time back.
Yeah.
So I get acclimated to these ages that are just a little ahead of me just because of the people I'm around. You guys are all just a few years older than me. And Jared is just a little bit over a year older than me. So I don't know.
I do the same thing because my wife is about 5 months older than me. Yeah. So you get the... I hear the age and I'm like, okay, that's coming.
All right. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? I haven't answered this yet. My answer is yes, I'll be okay. Like I will mentally be okay. My purpose in life will be unchanged, but I will be dismayed and I will be sad. And then I'll have to take some time in a bathtub mm-hmm. or in my own place of choosing to identify the problem and start doubling and tripling down my efforts, which I have doubled and tripled down from elections before. We asked you that question on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? 61% of you said no. So I think that's something that we have to think about right now while you still have the ability to affect the outcome. If you're part of that 61%, get involved. Reach out to your county Republican Party and get involved. You'll be very glad you did. You'll feel like you did something. The worst thing is feeling like you should have done more. So find those county Republicans and get involved. Mark Reardon on a very important local story coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.